At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey folks, Dan Freer here with your market update for October 8th, 2024. So mortgage rates went up a little bit yesterday. Well, not a little bit on the 15-year. Look, that went up 0.25% yesterday. So our goal here is to figure out what's the next move from the Fed and what's the next move on interest rates. So that's what we're going to focus in on today. So my conundrum here, and that's my new word for the day, is why have rates gone up 0.5% since the Federal Reserve cut rates 0.5%. So that's what we're trying to figure out in this economic atmosphere that we have today. So let's get over to it and look at today's trends, economic news, and I'll give you my take on what's happening behind the scenes. So right through here, here's our economic calendar for the day. So if you look at this, there's really nothing here. There's exports, there's imports, there's trade balances, and then there's the Atlanta Fed's GDP. They expected it to be, well, the last reading was 2.5%. They expected to come in at 2.5%. That's basically it for today. And then tomorrow, what do we seeing tomorrow? We have the FOMC, a lot of people from the FOMC talking. That's about it tomorrow. And then Thursday is the day. Continued jobless claims come in. That's the jobs piece that the Federal Reserve monitors. CPI, the C on the front of that. Remember, what does it stand for when it comes? We got the CPI and the PPI. What does it stand for? You got it. The C on the front of that means consumer. The rest of that means inflation. So on Thursday, we have consumer inflation coming in. Then on Friday, we have the PPI. The P means producers. So it's the producer inflation that we have on Friday. So that's basically the data we have coming in. But I had a question actually to the whole team over here at MBS Live, especially Matt Graham. He's the founder of this company, and it's awesome. But I said, Matt, why? Where's the money going? So the equity markets are kind of poised for a pullback. And then we have the bond market also doing the same thing. So where's the money going? He said, Dan, you're missing something. Go back and look at a longer term chart of the S&P. So when you look at this, this is actually the S&P, the equities markets. So if you're looking at this and it's like, okay, since 2023, we were down here. So the S&P was 3,600. Okay, where is it today? Well, almost at 6,000. Okay, that's a huge rally. That's why people aren't, they're not fighting the Fed. There's a saying, don't fight the Fed. When the Fed comes out and they start doing their things, a lot of people move to equities. And that they're just staying in the equity position because they're doing very, very well. Look at the S&P 500. I think it's up again another 10-15% this year. It was up 25% last year. When's this going to end? But until it ends, you're not going to see a lot of money moving from here to the bond markets. Okay, so that's the first piece of the puzzle that we're seeing right through there. So equities are doing really well, and that's one reason why bonds aren't doing too well. So let's get over to this piece of the equation. We have the MBSs right now at -8. Basically, it's not going to really do anything. Mortgage rates might tick up just a tad to maybe 6.65 maybe. It's still early. This market that's been moving a little bit down, but it's stabilizing right through here. Now, one of the biggest things we have kind of an issue with at this point is homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance went up 50%, I think 58% over the past year. At what point is it going to stagnate? Well, with all the storms we're having right now, it's not going to stagnate anytime soon. I want to take a look at what the insurance outlook on a lot of this stuff is, because if we get pounded again with another hurricane down in the south, where's the money going to come from? Is it going to come from other pieces of the economy? Is it going to come from other parts of the government? So let's get to this take, because this is very important, especially if you haven't bought a house yet. You're going to realize homeowners insurance is getting more and more expensive by the day. And also, if you're renting, don't be surprised if your rent's going to go up quite a bit, because your landlord's going to say, okay, my insurance just went way up. It doubled, tripled. So I'm going to have to increase my rents. So everybody is kind of on the line at this point. So let's get over to the take on what we're expecting from the next storm that blows through. And then we're going to come back and look at the overall markets and some different trends. I want to show you where the actually yield curve inverted and then re-inverted and then inverted. I'm going to show you that and how it's affecting the markets as well. So let's take a check on the hurricanes and insurances. Then we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into other yields. So Take it away.
And this will be the first time that the Tampa Bay area has taken a direct hit from a major storm in almost a century, since all the way back in 1921. In your mind, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what does that mean about the potential impact to residents and also property?
Yes, it's very clear here that the entire coastline there of Florida, especially Tampa down to Fort Myers, should be on alert here and taking the proper precautions to either evacuate or mitigate their homes as much as they possibly can against the damaging potential of wind, but especially storm surge in this event.
So thank goodness I have a place right over in here. It's in Cocoa Beach. We used to get the storms. A lot of the hurricanes used to come up this way, if you see my cursor. Now, for some reason, they're coming up through this way and across. It used to be kind of this way and up through, and now it's coming this way. And that was the question. It's like, are they starting to turn? You know, what's exactly going on? I got no complaints because I'm on the other side of the coast, and we really haven't been affected basically much at all based on this. So if you're living on this side of the coast, you might want to start looking on this side of the coast. But just get back to the video.
You know, Jeff, I think what I was trying to get to is that we're starting to see storms in more areas that generally aren't as impacted, or the storms are more severe. This is an area that hasn't seen a big storm in almost a century. I mean, generally, would the construction be built with the idea that a hurricane would come through, whether it be residential, commercial, or even government?
In some cases, yes, but in many cases, you see a lot of coastal structures, a lot of coastal properties that are built at grade, so maybe not, on stilts, not at elevation, and those all these coastal properties, especially in Tampa, St. Pete area, are going to be, tested, and those codes that are in place, the building codes are going to be tested as well. Mm-hmm. So this will be one of those events that everyone in the markets are going to be watching very closely. But it's very clear here that, as you mentioned, Tampa Bay, has, and St. Petersburg has not seen anything like this in quite some time. So it'll be quite interesting to see just how these buildings respond. But there are quite a few that are built, at grade and will be subject to quite severe storm surge risk.
And certainly wishing the best to all the people there. I want to turn back to Hurricane Helene for just a second. So your best estimate when it comes to the damage from Hurricane Helene is about $11 billion. I thought it was pretty interesting. Most of that's actually coming from wind, not from water or anything else. When it comes to Milton, we've actually seen the winds increase by about 90 miles per hour just over the last day or so, according to NBC. As a lot of these areas are recovering from Helene, Milton's coming in with these strong winds. I mean, what are you expecting? How damaging could this be again to property? How, life-risking or a life-endangering could this really be?
Well, there's a couple of things to note. I mean, first, the building codes in the state of Florida are some of the strongest in the country. However, there's going to be a lot of overlap in the areas affected by Milton as compared to the areas that were affected by Helene just a few days ago. So you're going to have a lot of instances where damage could be exacerbated. It could be worse because those structures have already been, prone to damage just a few days back. And that could be tricky in terms of trying to understand, just how much worse things could get, and also trying to figure out which event actually caused the damage. But the building codes are very strong in Florida, and especially along coastal areas. And so we'll hopefully see some of those build back better techniques and those strong codes take action. But it will be challenging, especially with all that debris that is still on the roads in places like Tampa, that it's just going to make matters a heck of a lot worse when it comes to seeing the oncoming impacts of Milton in just a couple of days.
I've covered a hurricane.
We will leave it at that. Okay, so that's what we're seeing down through there. So that's even going to exacerbate the housing market in Florida. So now more and more people are going to say the housing market in Florida is going to get really bad. Well, yeah, it's going to get bad. Half the houses might be possibly gone. So that's what we're focusing in on right now. This insurance cost is going to basically go nationwide because they have to get the money somewhere. It's kind of like the government giveaways. When they give it away, they got to earn it back somewhere. The government earns it through taxes, and insurance companies earn it through the premiums that you pay on your homeowner's insurance. So even if you're renting right now, you're going to be affected by this. Okay, so that's what we're seeing right through there. MBSs are staying steady at 8% or 8 ticks right now. Next piece of this is I wanted to show you guys, and this keeps updating, and it's driving me nuts. I found this chart yesterday, and it was interesting. I want you guys to understand the differences when they say, well, the yield curve and the inverted yield curve and things like that. So it's basically this, and I'll bring it up on the screen here in a second. It's when, think of it, if this makes sense. If you were to invest your money for, let's say, 1 year, and you got a 4% interest rate on that money. And then you could invest that money for 30 years, and you could get like a 2% interest rate. Where would you put your money? I hope you said that. I hope you said to the higher yield. Okay, so then you can stagnate it, move your monies around, so forth. That's what's in called that's called the inverted yield curve. So let me go back to my drawing board. I'm going to show you how this is kind of an anomaly. It doesn't happen that often. So let's get rid of the MACD and the simple averages, and we're going to add the one-year treasury. So we're going to add this to this, and we are at the one-year treasury. What I want you guys to see is it might not seem that big there, but let me do this. Let's go back to a 10-year chart. And well, let's go to a 5-year chart. That might help us a little bit more. Okay, and then I'll clean this up by doing this. I apologize, folks. I already had this done prior to, but now it reverts and goes back every time to where we were. So I want to understand the inverted yield curve. Okay, so what you're seeing right through here, the dots represent long-term bonds. Okay, that's, see how the yield is always, the rate is always higher than the one down through here. One down through here is a one-year treasury, and up through here is the 10-year treasury, and you can see that right up through there. Okay, over to the side, this is money's time frame and so forth. Okay, so you can see right here. I'm sorry, this is percentages. So you have a percentage here. See, all you need to understand is the dots. The dots are higher, well, should be higher in most cases, because you want higher yields the longer the duration of time you go out. But all of a sudden in 2022, there was an inversion right through here. Now, a lot of times what happens here is a lot of economists say, well, there's going to be a recession if you have an inverted yield curve. Well, in 2022, it inverted. And it stayed there for quite some time. It just recently uninverted, and now it looks like it might be reverting again, or whatever the verbiage is there. So usually, like I said, what happens in this is we have a recession. Okay, we didn't have a recession this time. This is why everybody's monitoring, saying, are we going to go into a recession? Because most of the time when this happens, we do have a recession. Okay, so that's the concern in the markets right now. But as the markets continue to rally and rally and rally, a lot of investors are just saying, we're not going to fight the Fed. The Fed is committed to reducing rates. We know they're going to reduce rates. How much? How far? How fast? That's the question now. Okay, so yesterday I brought up the CME Fed Watch tool, and that tells us the probabilities, what the Federal Reserve's going to do. Let's see if it moved in today's video. So I'm just doing this on the fly this morning, folks. So let's get to this Fed Watch tool. It's basically, I'm going to show you what I do behind the scenes. So we go to the CME Fed Watch tool. This is telling us in 30 days, the Federal Reserve is going to make another decision telling us what they're going to do. Now, the question this time is, what are they going to do? Are they going to cut anything? Are they going to pause? They're not going to raise rates, right? Well, let's get down and see what this tells us. So this is telling us right now, there's an 86% chance that the Federal Reserve will be cutting a quarter point. Okay, so why, how do I know? Well, the federal funds rate today is 4.75 to 5%. So let's go over to here. I go to the aggregate, so it tells you kind of where we're going to go from here. So see right through here, this chart, this piece of the puzzle wasn't even here last week because everybody's like, okay, the Fed's cutting. Remember, the Fed's cutting 25, maybe 50. Maybe they should do 50 again. Maybe they should do 25. Now this is saying there's a 13% chance they're not going to do anything. And it's all revolved around the jobs report that came out last week. So look at it this way. You have GDP that's coming in 2.5%, 3%. You have the unemployment rate coming down. It was 4.3, then it went to 4.2, then going to 4.1. That's doing well. You have the equity markets, like I showed you at the beginning. We had the S&P at 3,600, you know, 2-3 years ago. Now it's 6,000. So you can't fight the system. And then when you have the Federal Reserve coming out saying they're cutting rates, don't fight the Fed. That's all I have to say. So rates will come down over time. We have a lot of things going right now to kind of for distractions. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We have wars. We have the hurricane that came through. We have another hurricane coming. We have port strikes that are possibly reigniting again. We have this election within a couple weeks, and that's mayhem. So with all this going on, I'm kind of pleased, which is how all the numbers are going right now, because normally if you saw this market 10 years ago, I'd almost guarantee you that the stock market would be crumbling at this point because of all this economic uncertainty. So my thought behind all this is we're going to just wait. The economic markets are just going to be, well, the bond market should just be teetering, you know, treading water at this time, waiting for some more data to just say, okay, where do we go from here? And I think that data is going to come in on Friday. Thursday and Friday when we have jobs, we have the jobs report coming in, and then we have the CPI number. This is giving us everything the Federal Reserve wants. They want to know what's going on with jobs, and then in consumer inflation, initial jobless claims, and then when you go down through here, what's the trajectory of prices and costs? Well, we're going to get that from the PPI on Friday. So there's a lot of data coming out between Thursday and Friday. I'll keep you up to date on how those numbers come in and how that affects mortgage rates. But my thought right now is we're going to just teeter. We're just going to tread water. There are some Fed officials talking today. It depends on what they say and how they say it that might move some markets. But basically right now, here's where mortgage rates are. Here's where the bond market is. It's ticked up just a tad to minus nine right now. So we'll probably maybe see mortgage rates tick up to about 6.63 to 6.65 today. Nothing catastrophic. We just need these to start pulling back. When's that going to be? Well, time will only tell. So my name is Dan Frio. What am I? What do I do? I'm not a financial analyst. I'm not an economist. I'm actually a mortgage guy. I'm just a mortgage guy. That's all I do, and I've done it for 35 years. So if you go to therateupdate.com, that's my website, I'm going to pop up right there. Why do I pop up? Well, I pop up for those out there that already own your home. We're going to allow you to pick your interest rate that you want to refinance at. So as soon as that rate hits that number, we're going to be on the phone with you and reach out to you to make sure you lock in at that rate and recognize those savings. But here's my website, therateupdate.com. You can find a whole bunch of things across the top. If you're looking to buy that first house, you got to check out the Grant Finder right up through there. It's going to give you national grants as well as grants in the Chicagoland area. Folks, we have $1 million basically to give away in the Chicagoland area for those out there. If you're making $80,000 or less looking to buy a house in the Chicagoland area, give me a call. We got $10,000 grants for you to help you with the down payment and the closing costs. But if you just want to get started on your application, I don't care if you're buying your first house, buying an investment property, maybe even looking to refinance, hit the apply now button. Or if you're a little antsy, just give us a call right down through here. You can call us at 844-775-5626, or you can reach me personally. Yeah, it's me. It's Dan at therateupdate.com. So thanks so much for watching, folks. We do have a live event tonight. We're not having it tomorrow. That we have some training to do tomorrow, Kyle and myself, so we decided to do the live event today. So join us today. Ask us questions about buying your first house, maybe how to structure an investment property, or refinancing. Would a debt consolidation loan actually help you out quite a bit? We'll check out that as well. So we'll be on today at 2:30 Central Time. Please join us. Take care. See you then. Bye-bye.